Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Psalms, the 25th Psalm. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Thus far God's holy, infallible, and precious word. Dear congregation, the Lord appeared unto Solomon one night and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. On this first day of this new year, many are looking forward, also in the world. And if you were to ask them, what do you most want in 2012? Many would think of things such as making a break in their business, or winning a scholarship to a college or university, or taking some long and great vacation. Ask what I shall give thee. We meet in our text a man whose deepest desire, and the Lord gave it to him, was to walk with God wherever God's way took him. And Enoch lived in a time in which many were looking for the very same things that I just mentioned. You can read about it in chapter 4 of Genesis, of Jubal and Tubal and Tubal-Cain. But the great things that they wrought, and the great things undoubtedly they wanted to be remembered for, industrial accomplishments, arts and building projects, and so on. And their names indeed have gone down into history attached to these pursuits. But God's Word sets before us something far more blessed and glorious and worth seeking after, also in this new year. And it's that which is associated with Enoch, as we have heard in our text. At the beginning of this new year, we want to focus with God's help on this great need of every soul here. And that is to walk with God. So with God's help, let us look at this matter under the theme, walking with God. We have three thoughts. First of all, the beginning of such a walk. Secondly, the shape of such a walk. And thirdly, the culmination of such a walk with God. Walking with God. The beginning, the shape, and the culmination. Congregation, Adam and Eve had walked with God in the Garden of Eden. In the cool of the day, fellowshipping there in communion and harmony with their Maker, delighting in Him and He in them, and experiencing it in their very souls, there in innocence, in a state of rectitude before God. But this communion had been disrupted grievously, terminally, as they had given their ear to the serpent and listened to him and doubted God's word. They fell from their original righteousness. And not only did they stop communing with God, they became strangers to God. They were estranged from God in their hearts. They turned away from God. They ran from Him. And instead of communing with Him, they hid from the Lord. And instead of this blessed communion that they were experiencing before with the Lord, all they had left was this broken covenant of works in their hands, something whereby they could no longer find God and be in communion with Him once again. And this did not only affect Adam and Eve, but their whole posterity after them, including Enoch. Enoch, too, was a fallen son of Adam. You could say of Enoch what the Lord says of the whole human race in Genesis chapter 6, the next chapter. The imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And so too Enoch walked not with God, but he walked in league with the prince of darkness. He walked in fellowship with Satan, whose dominion he had chosen. And the consequences of this fall were such that both he and all those around him were not only guilty, but they had the root of death within themselves. They had died spiritually. They were dying physically. An eternal death awaited every one of them. And so Enoch, along with everyone else by nature, they were blind to God. Their affections were turned away from God. They were deaf to God. God had not changed whatsoever, but man had fallen from Him and was no longer walking with Him or communing with Him. And if Enoch could have seen what was truly happening, both in his own soul and in the soul of those around him, he would have had and seen, he would have had a sight of the reality that that in Adam all have died. In fact, if you read the chapter that we did not read together, Genesis 5, you have that mournful refrain, don't you? And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And Enoch had no reason to expect anything else for himself because of his sin as well. Now, it's important to keep in mind that Enoch was not a worldling in this sense, that he did not walk as the sons of Cain did, apart from the Lord entirely, devoid of privileges of gathering together with godly people, meditating on whatever revelation the Lord had given them. Certainly that great mother promise about the seed that was to come in the fullness of time. We would say in our own language, Enoch was a church-going man. He was a covenant child. He was born in the line of Seth, of whom we read that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So most likely they gathered for worship, where the godly would lead in prayers, in seeking God and seeking His presence and His face and blessings from His right hand, where they perhaps expounded on the revelation of the mother promise of the seed that was to come and on other things perhaps. Young people and children, Enoch grew up in church just like you. And yet he didn't walk with God. He walked, as Paul would later say about himself before his conversion, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And congregation, if we are beginning this year as we began our life, we are not walking with God. We are strangers to God. Man by nature is a companion of evildoers. He walks, as Psalm 1 says, in the counsel of the ungodly. He stands in the way of sinners. He even sits in the seat of the scornful. His heart is bound up with them in the sense that he likes what they like. And he finds an affinity with them, even if he is a religious person, a church-going person. Man by nature is lost. He has lost a way. He has lost his God and communion with God, and so he is lost. He's living in this world not knowing where he is going, not knowing where he is headed. Paul says, the way of peace they have not known. He does not know where to find God, even though God is all about him and round him, as Paul says in Acts 17. And man by nature, he will not either stumble upon the way of God. That sometimes happens physically, right? When you're lost and you're looking for the right way, then all of a sudden, yes, maybe you do turn out to be on the right way somehow. But this is never the case spiritually. No one ever stumbles of their own volition upon the Lord. Spiritually speaking, it's never hit and miss. It's always miss. Missing the mark. And so what a miracle it is, congregation, when we hear of Enoch walking with God. Here was a man who had lived for 65 years unreconciled with his Maker, with a broken covenant of works in his hands, living under wrath, living under judgment. When God looked down upon Enoch before he found the Lord, the Lord was angry with Enoch because of his sin and his sinnership. And yet, one day, things change. Is this not a miracle of the highest proportion? Something that intervened here in this lost life of Enoch. And he begins to walk with God. But we don't know a lot about what happened and how exactly it was that he began to walk with God, but we are given one or two details. The first is that he began to walk with God the year his son was born. We don't know if this was before he was born or after he was born, but it seems to have some connection with the birth of his first child, Methuselah. Now, it often happens, doesn't it, that when we hold our first child in our arms, that something of the seriousness of life begins to dawn upon us. And this can be an impression that passes very often. But perhaps in Enoch's life, it was something the Lord used to let him see the significance of the soul, his own soul, and the soul of his child. He had brought a never-dying soul into this world. A child that would also see the grave. A child that also would live for some years and then pass into this never-ending eternity of which Enoch had heard, no doubt, as he gathered together with the Sethites. It is appointed unto man once to die. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Maybe as he held the infant Methuselah in his arms, he wondered, how should I raise this child? We know that Adam was still alive at this time. Could it be that Enoch took his son to Adam, that Adam could look upon his posterity, and that Adam unfolded to him in a way that the Lord blessed to his heart? That indeed in Adam, and because of Adam's sin of disobedience, all were corrupted. All had gone out of the way. All together become filthy. But there was to come a seed, the seed of the woman. But we know this much, that when the Lord converts someone, he sees, first of all, what he is in the old Adam, a sinner from his youth, a sinner from the very beginning, turned away from God, not desiring the counsel of God and the way of God and communion with God at all. But he is also brought to see not only his part in the first Adam, but he's also brought to see something of that second Adam and life through him, that great miracle that God in his wisdom has found a way to deal with Adam's sin by sending his son as the second Adam. Could it be that as Enoch held this child in his arms, he saw for himself personally his part in Adam the first and his need for a part in Adam the second, the coming seed of the woman? We know, secondly, that Enoch came face to face with the judgment of God. How is that, you say? Well, the name of his son Methuselah means something like, when this one dies, the judgment. He understood that there was a coming judgment, and he didn't know that Methuselah would live for 900 some years. At least we have no indication that he knew. But somehow he was confronted with a coming judgment, a just judgment that was to come upon this world in the flood. The first world would be judged by God, and rightfully so, because the iniquity of it, of the world, would be crying out for judgment from the Almighty. And Enoch here has a view of the judgment to come, as the Epistle of Jude also says, that he became a prophet of a coming judgment. Well, he could not have prophesied of a coming judgment unless he had felt the weight and the justice of that judgment in his own heart and life, that God is the judge and can justly and will justly judge all His creatures. Enter not into judgment with Thy servant. For in Thy sight no man living shall be justified, was this Enoch's cry and prayer. Is it your cry and prayer on this first day of the new year, having heard yesterday about the judgment of God, what we justly deserve, to be cast out, to be put on the left hand, to be clothed with shame and disgrace and honor, and that forevermore, that God is just in condemning sinners forevermore to separation from Him, to being cast out of even the privileges of His Word, of His counsel. Well, at any rate, eternal realities began to weigh upon Enoch. In the very year his son was born, Enoch was reborn. And while his son was crying out with his physical lungs, Enoch began to cry out with spiritual lungs. While his son stretched out his arms to be picked up by Enoch, Enoch learned to stretch out his hands unto the living God. And while his son was hungering and thirsting for physical food and drink, Enoch began to hunger and to thirst for the living God. Perhaps as his son learned to walk, putting his one foot in front of the other, maybe even as children will do, grabbing a hold of the arms of his, or the legs of his father, and trying to take step after step behind his father, Enoch began to walk with God. And as his son grew, began to walk better and better, Enoch too walked more closely with the Lord. And perhaps his son would come to him, eager to learn something, as children often are, and they come close to fathers and to mothers, and they ask so many questions, so much they want to know and learn. So too the Lord would find Enoch at his feet, seeking to learn what there was to learn about the soul and about life and about the Mediator and about God. Questions, concerns, confusion perhaps. And as Methuselah grew and the two undoubtedly went through the fields, maybe even arm in arm or hand in hand as children love to do with their parents, so it was that Enoch came to have a similar communion with Almighty God. Enoch walked with God. Do you walk with God? Has this first day of the new year found you stretching out your arms unto God, hungering and thirsting for God, seeking communion with God, laying out your life before the Lord? Enoch walked with God. Let's look secondly at the shape which this walk took in Enoch's life and which it must also take in our own life. And then we see six things specifically when we take the whole of the Scriptures together about what it means to walk with God. It first of all means that we must walk in the ways of the Lord. If we are to walk with God, it must be in His paths. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The prophet Amos said. No, they must be agreed. They must be reconciled. It must be one way that they are going together. And yes, the Lord meets His people on their own self-chosen ways, but He doesn't continue there. Oh, He brings them on His way. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. How true it is also this year, congregation, that the Lord needs to bring us and to keep us upon His paths. His paths which are good and right. Psalm 25, which we read together, records many prayers of David, many petitions in which he's asking for exactly this. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. Is that your prayer this morning as we begin a new year? To come into the ways of the Lord. Have you become weary in your own way? And do you realize that your own way will only lead away from God in greater lostness and ultimately in eternal, everlasting separation from Him? And do you need the Lord to bring you upon His way? And do you cry out in your heart and soul this morning, teach me, Lord. I am blind. I need to know the way. I cannot find it on my own, but show me Thy ways. Bring me there where Thou dost walk and where Thou hast Thy goings. Oh, there's the constant need in the life of faith to be brought back on the way of the Lord, isn't there? Like sheep, we so often lose the way. We desire our own way. In our folly, we go astray time and time again. And how much need there is the Lord to continue to teach us His way by His Spirit, by His grace, through His Word, and to bring us back to the path once again. But that's what walking with God means, first of all, and that is that we learn to walk on His paths. But secondly, walking with God means that we heed His Word. When you travel with a friend or a spouse, you talk together, don't you? At least usually, you communicate with each other. And in the life of faith, this also must take place. And first of all, we must be listeners to what the Lord has to say. I will hear what God the Lord will say. He will speak peace unto His saints. His Word is how He speaks to His people still today. This precious book with 66 books, suitable for every state, every condition, every question, every point of confusion, the Lord speaks through His Word. Oh, how we need to be in the Word of God. And we need to be in it with the prayer, speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Give me listening ears and an attentive heart. Oh, Lord, keep me from my own self-chosen ways, from my own counsels, and show me Thy way through Thy Word. Speak unto my soul. Say unto my soul, I am thy Savior. Do not fear. Do we pick up this book that way, seeking to hear what God will say to us today, and not putting it down until we have heard the Lord's own voice to us in His Word, sealing it to our souls? Speak, Lord, for Thy servant is listening. If a man walks with God, he will need the Word. He will love the Word. This is not to say that he never forgets the Word and that the Word never becomes dusty. But oh, what a grief that is to him when he's reminded of it, when it comes to him, when he begins to miss that fellowship and that communion, and he goes back to the Word. And he says, Lord, I like a sheep have gone astray, but speak and grant life unto my soul, I pray. Speak once again, Lord, I've not deserved it. I've turned my back to Thee, but come over once again and speak to my soul. A man who walks with God will be desirous to frequent the means of grace. Every time the Word is opened and he is not providentially hindered, he will want to hear what God the Lord will say to him. Is there a word for me in my situation from out of God's Word? A man who walks with God is a man who will meditate on God's statutes and His judgments. He will want to know it more and more. And what all does it contain? Oh, I know we are busy people. There are seasons of life that are particularly busy. But you're saying you can't take one word, one phrase, one verse, and let your mind go over it again and again, even while you are busy with the things that you're truly called to do in life. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. But it also thirdly means that we pour out our hearts unto the Lord. Communication is never a one-way street, and so too with the Lord. Indeed, He's always the first. And yet, His people pour out their hearts before Him, don't they? They come with all their thoughts, with all their concerns, with all their fears. Nothing's too great and nothing's too small for the Lord. He already knows. He calls us, doesn't He, in His Word. He calls us to cast our care upon Him, to roll over our burdens upon the Lord, to pray without ceasing, to let our requests be made known unto Him with thanksgiving, supplications, intercessions. Well, sometimes we don't even know what to say, but the groans of the Spirit within our souls, they are put there by the Lord, and He knows the language of groans. He understands it through and through. Sometimes it's one word, two words, three words, short prayers shot up like arrows to heaven. Lord, help. Lord, save. Lord, come down. Lord, do something. Lord, speak. Sometimes it's just lying there before the Lord and saying, Lord, behold, Thy servant, the son of Thine handmaid. Lord, behold. That's what Zacchaeus said. When the Lord came into his house that wonderful day, this day is salvation come to this house. Zacchaeus said, behold, Lord. Behold, Lord, his life was open for the Lord. Nothing to hold back. Nothing to hide. The Lord knows it all. Behold, Lord. Fourthly, walking with God means that we turn aside from whatever grieves the Lord. The godly man knows that he cannot walk in the way of the ungodly. He cannot sit in the seat of the scornful without doing damage to his communion with the Lord, to his sense of the presence with the Lord. He grieves the Lord, and the Lord hides himself. The Lord withdraws himself, which withdrawal is more bitter than death to the believer. The man who walks with God is a careful man. He's concerned not to cause damage to his soul, not to interrupt that communion with the Lord. And oh, so many things come, don't they? They come so quickly, so easily. A flood of them come into our lives without us so much as even noticing and registering it. And then all of a sudden we wake up and we say, where is the Lord? There are all these things. There's all this preoccupation. There's all this worldliness that has come in like a flood. Oh, what do we do at that point? Does the desire for the Lord outweigh everything? And we say, whatever it is, let it go. I need the Lord. Oh, for a careful walk, congregation, this year. May the Lord give that to each of us, to you as a congregation too. those little foxes that spoil the vine. They're right there. They're not miles away. They're in our houses already. Oh, let us take them. Let us turn aside from whatever grieves the Lord. Lord, help us to do this by grace in our lives. Fifthly, a man who walks with God is a man who learns to submit to the way that God chooses for him. There are times when God goes away with us in our lives, often. Things that are difficult for us. Things that we don't understand. Things that we would never have chosen. And yet the Lord says, this is the way. Walk in it. And something within us wants to go here, but the Lord is going there. The man who walks with God, he ultimately comes to submit to the way that the Lord in His providence and His grace goes with his soul. He'd rather have the Lord in the floods and in the water and in the fire than to be out in a wealthy place without the Lord. Oh, I know we often find ourselves murmuring, don't we, against the Lord's providences. The people of God need to be exercised in these things. They need to be brought to that point time and time again in which they become reconciled to the way of the Lord. But the Lord gives also that. You can ask for that. Lord, bring my life and my heart into accord with the way that Thou art going in my life. And at times He shows you why He's going that way. Often not at first. Often He makes you walk by faith and not by sight. But at times He lifts the veil on these mysterious providences in our life and He shows us something of what He's intending. And oh, providence is best read backwards, isn't it? In the review. And oh, heaven will be a glorious understanding of the way, that perfect way of the Lord, so right. No more excellent way than the way of the Lord. Sixthly and finally, the way that the person who knows this walk with the Lord also knows times and seasons in which he comes to see something of the beauty of the Lord. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. I already spoke about Enoch walking with God as a child with his parent. But in the life of faith, it comes to a point, doesn't it, where we realize that the Lord is not just a sun and a shield. He's not just a gracious guide and a father. But He is the bridegroom, the glorious, the beautiful, the fairest thing this world has ever seen. And there are seasons where the Lord shows something of that beauty, something of that loveliness which He has and which He is in Himself, and He unveils it for you. And you stand back in wonder and amazement. Something you thought you knew the Lord, and here you see something so marvelous, so glorious, it's past speaking. And there you're lost in wonder, lost in adoration at who the Lord is for a wretched, poor, and undone, and wayward, and halting sinner like yourself. Oh, to walk with the Lord for fresh views of His beauty. Child of God, this year, stay close to Him. Inquire in His temple. It is with His friends that He shows His secrets. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. He will show them great and marvelous things which they asked not for and which they sought not after. But He shows Himself in and through it all. Congregation, do you walk with the Lord like this? Do you desire to walk with the Lord like this. Is this your longing for this year? That it might be said of you in truth, and Enoch walked with God. Oh Lord, give us grace that we might walk with Thee through the valleys, up the mountain inclines, through whatever path Thou hast ordained for us to go. And notice that Enoch walked with God during the busiest years of his life. Parents, sometimes you and I with you think parenting is so difficult and so burdensome and so you're so preoccupied. Walking with God must be for older ones. Must be for later in life. Enoch walked with God when he became a parent. And he begat sons and daughters. We don't know how many. But very likely he had many children. And he walked with God during those days when he was so busy. Caring for his family. Providing for his family. Disciplining his children. Charting a course. Seeking to be husband and father and so many other things. And yet he walked with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. Well, congregation, when a sinner like Enoch walks with God in this life, the time comes, as we will see now in our final point, that he comes to live with God. And this is the consummation of this walk. We read in Revelation 3, verse 4, Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. What a wonderful prospect, child of God. Not just to walk here as we are, imperfect, stained with sin, with much darkness and confusion, seeing in part and knowing in part, the day will break when you shall walk with Him in white. And He will lead His people by fountains of living water. He with them and they with Him forever. Enoch's congregation lived on this earth much shorter than most around him. Only 365 years. It would be something today if you, by comparison of someone living till about 35 or so, while others were going on to be 80 or 90. But congregation, Enoch, for Enoch this would have been gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is not death, but is gain. And in fact, we read here that Enoch did not die. And the author simply, Moses, writes here, he was not, for God took him. And the author to the Hebrews writes this, that he was translated that he should not see death, that he was not found. With other words, among the many thousands of people, undoubtedly all around him, who were dying, for whom there were gravestones being erected time and time again, funerals every so often. There was no gravestone for Enoch. You can't help but think that they maybe put up a memorial marker. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And certainly in our text we have as much, don't we? A memorial marker. Here's a man whom the forces of death could not bind and hold. For God took him. God translated him. Luther writes in his commentary that he thinks that people launched a manhunt to search for Enoch, to find him, at least his body. They looked far and wide and they couldn't find him. Then they received some revelation that Enoch had been taken by the Lord. Now this is very well possible. Personally, I think when you compare Scripture with Scripture, That it's far more likely that Enoch was taken by the Lord with maybe a witness or two there who saw him taken up into glory. The barrier of death was broken. After all, isn't that what happened with Elijah? He was carried up into a chariot into heaven. And there Elisha saw it. Indeed, the rest wanted to launch a search party. But the Lord had left a witness. It happened as well when the Lord Jesus Christ was translated from this earth to heaven, received up into glory. The disciples looked, and they were there as witnesses to attest to what the Lord had done. But at any rate, somehow, somewhere, it was known that the Lord had taken Enoch. One writer says God picked up Enoch, body and soul, and carried him over and put him on the other shore. He didn't even taste of death. Congregation, it is not death to die. If you are one of Christ's own people, because the same can be said for you, as is said here of Enoch in our passage, the Lord took him. He was not. It is not death to go through the river of Jordan. If Christ has gone under the wrath of God for you, if He has paid the price, and if by faith you are crucified with Him. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Congregation, what a miracle of grace to walk with God here and to be taken by God, whether through the river of death, nevertheless to be held on by Him, to be kept by Him, to be translated by Him to the other side. Or whether it will be that Christ will come again with the clouds this very year, and all Christ's people will be immediately translated to glory. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this is secured in Christ and in Christ alone. Congregation, the reason Enoch could enter there within the house of God, the reason any sinner can come there within the abode of God, because one had to come from that abode, born of the seed of Adam, the seed of the woman, I should say, born from the line of Enoch, in order here on this world to walk with God and ultimately to be cast out of the presence of God, to come under the wrath which Enoch and every one of God's people have deserved by their sins, in order that he, as the second Adam, might walk with his people here on the earth. And when the time comes, he takes them in his arms, in his side, in himself, and he translates them and brings them to where he has come from, that you may be with me forever in paradise. Congregation, I must speak a word very briefly to those of you who have a hope of heaven and yet are not walking with God here below. Let me say it to you plainly. It is a vain hope. Heaven cannot receive you as you are. You must be born again. You must be engrafted into Christ, the seed of the woman. You must learn to die here in order that you will not die then, but rather be translated into glory. If you were to go to heaven, imagine this, as you are now, apart from God, a stranger to God. Heaven would be a hell for you because there is no communion, no union, no reconciliation with Almighty God. And can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, your portion, as long as you remain outside of Christ, is not with Christ in heaven. But it is in the fellowship of Him whose lordship you have chosen, the devil and his hosts. Oh, today, on this first day of 2012, if you will hear His voice, bow in the dust before Him. Stretch out your arms to Him and say, Oh God, I need Thee. I must be reconciled unto Thee by the blood. Oh, bring me where I cannot bring myself. Oh, Master, let me walk with Thee. Congregation, I may proclaim to you today the miracle, the mystery of Almighty God who stoops down to walk with a sinner like Enoch. The two of them, how can it be the infinite one with this finite creature, the all-powerful one with this weak and frail creature? The glorious God who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And Enoch, a son of Adam, stained with sin, vile and wretched in himself. How can these two walk together? It's blood. It's blood, friends, that brings the two together. The blood of Jesus, the Savior. Oh, when we walk together, it's through the blood. When we walk with Him, it's through Emmanuel, God with us, who poured out His life's blood. And this is the miracle of grace that the Lord is setting before us on the first day of this new year. God with man, through His Son, by the blood, speaking above the mercy seat this morning. Do you hear His voice today? Oh, say it then in your heart. Ever, O Lord, with Thee, Thy hand in my hand, Thou carest for me. Amen.